Welcome to the MadTech Podcast special from ExchangeWire, a weekly deep dive into a pressing industry issue.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of the MadTech Podcast by ExchangeWire, where we dive deep into a topic that's impacting the digital and marketing landscape. I'm ExchangeWire's COO, Lindsay Rowntree, and today the hot topic is the AI effect, and specifically how AI is rewriting how we search, click, and advertise, which happens to be the title of a recent consumer survey of 4,000 people across North America and Europe carried out by Equative. And joining me today is the brilliant Kurt Larson, who is Chief Innovation Officer at the aforementioned Equative. Kurt is going to talk us through the findings of this survey and what this means for the future of a successful advertising strategy. Welcome, Kurt. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for that warm intro, Lindsay.
So it's great to have you here. Let's chat a little bit about, first of all, what you do at Equative. What is a Chief Innovation Officer?
Yeah, so it's a role within the product team where I'm running product for a lot of our core exchange, but also really overseeing what are we doing across the company to make sure we are increasing and maintaining a pace of innovation. Specifically, one of the initiatives within that is how we're handling AI as a company, both in terms of how we're putting it in the products for our customers, and how we're using it internally to improve our own company operations.
Interesting. So you obviously have commissioned this survey looking into the effects of AI from the consumer perspective, how consumers are using AI at the moment. What for you were, why do you feel it was important to run this research? And what for you were the key findings that you think were really interesting?
You know, I think our first question was like, is this an echo chamber effect? We feel like we are all using AI every day. We're using it in our company. We're putting it in our products. It feels like all of our customers are asking about it. But we wanted to understand, is this something that is true across a broad swath of society? Or is this an effect of, you know, tech and media colleagues and friends, right? And the short answer was it's very broad across society. I was actually surprised by the results. You know, I think the headline answer here was 67% of people are using AI more than once a week. This is, again, across a broad swath of society, both the United States and five major countries in Europe. And we see that usage across the board, across all age demographics, although as typical, a little bit more adopted on younger age demographics. So definitely people are using this.
And so the research showed that, you know, keyword-based search is shifting to, you know, AI-assisted discovery. 38% are using search engines less often, with 30% visiting fewer websites. And that, for me, felt, you know, quite a poignant shift away from what we've known as basically the kind of fundamental basis of our advertising ecosystem for the past however many years, decades now. How is this changing the way consumers are finding and engaging with content? And then obviously further down the line, I want to find out what that then means for, you know, the advertising ecosystem. But kind of from a consumer perspective, what does that mean for discoverability and for content sources?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're seeing in these results is consumers saying they're using AI as sort of the front door to the internet, which means search engines are being supplanted and for some use cases, right? It is the front door in the sense that it doesn't mean it's the only experience consumers are going to have. 60% of consumers said they're validating what AI engines are telling them, right? So they're still leaving the AI engines, looking at other sources of content. But the AI is becoming their front door. You know, the top use cases, as you sort of alluded to, were kind of the quick search, the normal sort of questions you just ask a search engine in the past, but also product discovery and travel and restaurant recommendations are where I think consumers are starting to see more of the unique capabilities of AI rather than just like a more modern search engine.
And just to share, obviously, the stats around that. So I think it was 60% using it for product discovery and 48% for travel and restaurant recommendations. Do you feel like
That's
this
right.
means that brands need to kind of consider having a greater presence within AI ecosystems than they maybe do their own websites? Has it changed the way that they need to have their own visibility?
Yeah, I think brands need to be thinking of this as a new channel that consumers are engaging with them in. And there are a variety of lenses for that. You know, one is making sure your product is represented accurately in LLMs, which is really about making sure your product is clearly and accurately described on your website. And the sort of structure of your website is clear for a machine to discover and understand. And, you know, that's true of a lot of websites. I think there are things that sites might need to do to improve the way LLMs are ingesting content about their brand. But then the second is obviously brands have an opportunity to engage with consumers more directly, also through their own LLM experiences. You know, brands and other publishers are launching LLM experiences in their own sites to allow consumers who are more specifically interested in engaging with them to do so using the LLM. So I think there's, you know, opportunities on a few levels for brands to think of, how are consumers engaging with me in this new channel?
I want to call up one stat as well that ties into this very nicely, which was of, it was asking about trust and whether consumers trust the responses that they're getting from these AI platforms. And 21% trust them completely, whereas 60% cross-check their results. Do you think that it's maybe unsafe for, well, not unsafe necessarily, but should brands be wanting to be visible in an experience in environments where trust is that low?
You know, I think it's a good thing. I mean, consumers trusting what they read on the internet is not a good thing before or after LLMs, right? I mean,
that's true. Yeah.
Maybe trust but verify, right? To me, it's encouraging that consumers are understanding that, first off, the LLMs can have challenges like hallucinations. And secondly, there's bias in a lot of information. There's bias in any information you find anywhere, right? And so I think that instinct to verify is a good thing. For consumers and for the health of the internet. It's also a good thing for brands and publishers because it means that consumers are not going to end their experience in the LLM. They're going to seek to move to other sources of information,
That's
often
true.
The brand or the publisher website directly. So you're getting potentially a consumer who's now done some level of discovery about you as a brand and is now wanting to engage with you deeper. So maybe you're getting fewer visitors, but those visitors are ready to be more deeply engaged with your content because they've kind of gotten the taste on the AI platform and are looking for more depth.
I mean, that brings us nicely into a conversation around the publisher and the impact that LLMs are having on the publisher. Obviously, the concern is that their content, the traffic that's coming to their site is being massively reduced. We've already talked about the stat that 38% are visiting fewer websites, or 30% visiting fewer websites than they were previously. That obviously kind of directly impacts the footfall of a publisher's website. What, in your perspective, does this mean the open internet? Does this mean for the content created on a publisher's site? Does it mean that we could actually have a content collapse where there's nothing left for AI to summarize because all the publishers have had to fold because they can't afford to stay alive? Or are we seeing that there's actually, you know, opportunity here for publishers to really kind of embrace what this new normal could look like?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to unpack in this area, right? If, you know, first, the decline in traffic is real. Publishers are seeing it. Google themselves has reported it. It's supported by this survey. So it's true that traffic is declining to publisher websites. It's not necessarily true that revenue is declining, right? You know, the way the economics of the open internet and the web work is it's, in general, it's not a supply-constrained market. It's a demand-constrained market.
Yeah.
Right? So the only thing that would en masse overall cause publisher revenue to go down would be if marketer budgets targeting the open internet went down, which I don't think we see signs of that happening overall. Mm. So, you know, your impressions might decline by 30%, but if all your peers' impressions also decline by 30%, overall your revenue wouldn't be impacted. Now, of course, it's not even across the board, right? Some publishers are more impacted than others, and there's a limit to that. Your traffic can't go to two impressions a day and still get the kind of revenue, right? So I think so far publishers are seeing a decline in traffic. I think my first message would be, don't panic. You know, look at how your revenue is doing, and then think about how you can engage with this new opportunity, right? And I think there's a variety of things that publishers can do, and we can get into that to think about engaging with this new opportunity. And I think the other thing I would mention just at a high level before we get into any like specific actions is we shouldn't worry too much about preserving the way the open internet works today. We should think about, how do we build a better open internet and a model for publishers in the future? Because the current model is not amazing. You know, publishers and journalism are not exactly thriving in the past in terms of ad revenue, right? It's a challenging world for publishers and journalists. And the things that they are having to do to survive, which are often increasing ad load, ad density, ad refresh, degrading consumer experiences, in the legitimate effort to stay profitable and survive, it's not necessarily leading us in the most amazing spot. And so while the decline in traffic and AI engines are certainly on one hand a threat to publishers, maybe it's a chance to actually reinvent our model in a more positive way going forward.
Obviously, there were some interesting stats in that, in the infographic. What for you represents the biggest opportunity in terms of kind of understanding how consumers are using AI platforms, are using LLMs? Where do you see this as being like, okay, well, this is a great chance for us as the ad tech infrastructure to kind of do a little bit of a reset and actually kind of rethink how we operate? And certainly, you know, I suppose how Equative fits into that as well.
Yeah, so I think, you know, one of the stats that gives us a little bit of opportunity is the 60% of consumers that are validating what AIs are telling them. That's telling us consumers are still interested in coming and engaging with brand and publisher websites to get deeper, more reliable information, right? So that gives us a moment of opportunity. And then I think what publishers need to be considering is how do I take this moment to make sure that I'm going to be ready as consumer perspectives evolve? One of the things many publishers are doing is, as I mentioned, for brands, offering their own LLM experiences, either in their own websites or as a collection of publishers. There are several companies that have sprung up, like ProRata and Dapier, to help publishers kind of navigate this transition. Publishers are also looking at how can they participate in the LLM ecosystem. You know, we know in the long run, for LLMs to continue to offer a compelling consumer product, they need fresh content. And while there's some level of content that LLMs can essentially create from prior content, there's a limit to that. And both for training data, but particularly for inferencing data, meaning getting more real-time data about the world, LLMs need publishers to provide that content.
Yeah,
and I think publishers are ultimately going to need to participate in a value exchange with LLMs, where publishers should think of LLMs. Right now, I think publishers are thinking of LLMs as a threat or a competitor or an evil force in the world, you know. And I think
really
publishers
are.
Need to be thinking of LLMs as a new consumer channel, right? And a new customer, essentially. A customer where I need to offer them a compelling product in terms of the content that the LLM needs to offer their consumer product. And in return, I need to get some revenue from them by doing, there's a bunch of models like doing ad rev share, pay per crawl, pay per inference, right? There's a variety of models that we're exploring. The IAB Tech Lab, for example, is working on standards and protocols to help facilitate this. So, you know, there's ways that publishers can embrace this world, both in terms of the product they're offering their consumers to their websites and properties, as well as the way they can partner with LLMs.
That's so interesting. And obviously, we've talked, you know, a lot over the past few years about the death of the long tail. And if you're a publisher operating in that space in the open internet, then, you know, your days are numbered. Actually, it feels like this is representing an opportunity for them to be able to almost embrace that a bit more and actually enter into new ways of getting revenue that they probably weren't getting through traditional ad-based models before, because of the fact that actually visibility for this kind of content is potentially on the up based on how consumers are searching.
And I think that's the hope, right? If we take the sort of rosy view of this, we can say that the new model for publishers, rather than chasing eyeballs and ad load and ad density, is going to be producing content that's of a really high quality that the LLMs end up using a lot in their consumer product. And the LLMs therefore end up compensating the publisher a lot for that quality content. And we can create an ecosystem that is funding quality content rather than funding ad load and ad density and cheap clicks. Obviously, that's the rosy view. We're not going to get perfectly there, and it's a bumpy road to get there. But that's my hope, at least for the industry, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm interested as well in kind of, you know, what this, in your view, means for ad formats going forward, and what that, and can you see almost a kind of a blurring of the lines between what is an advertiser and what is a publisher based on how they're both trying to get themselves in front of a consumer on the same platform in the same way?
Yeah, and in some ways it makes sense, right? Both, whether you're a brand or a publisher, you're competing for consumer attention. And in some ways competing for now LLM attention, right? You want the LLM to sort of reference your brand and your content when it's interacting with a consumer. And so, there's a competition to be the most relevant and the most interesting data that the LLM can surface in terms of what the consumer's for. In terms of ad products, you know, I think obviously some of the LLMs are starting to experiment with ad-driven models in addition to their VC-funded as well as subscriber-funded models. I think we'll see that, right? We see that in almost every channel as it matures. It tends to move towards an ad-funded model. We saw that with CTV, for example, over the past couple of years, the very much increasing adoption of advertising. I think we'll continue to see that in LLMs. And the other results from the survey that we haven't touched on is consumers are very open to ad-funded experiences.
Yes.
It was, you know, very positive sentiment consumers had towards the idea of ad-funded models and LLMs. I think they're looking for some key things. First off, they're looking for disclosure, right? I think there's a risk that ads can be non-disclosed and really embedded in the answers AIs give, and that would be eroding consumer trust in LLMs. They're also looking for choice in ways that they want to engage with these ads and the data they want to share with these advertising. Most importantly, and I think different than other platforms, is they're really expecting relevance. You know, you're having a conversation with the LLM about a specific topic, and the LLM understands exactly what you're talking about. If it shows you an ad for something completely unrelated, it's going to feel very disjointed. And so consumers are looking for relevance. And as always, you know, they're looking for respectful ads that aren't interruptive, that are not disruptive, difficult to dismiss, that sort of thing.
Yeah, just to share the stats on that. So 78% are open to clearly labeled ads. 55% want those ads to be contextually relevant. 65% would like an option to be able to opt out. And 56% would like ad frequency control. There's a lot of asks there. Typically, kind of, you know, in the history of the advertising industry, you know, we've not necessarily kind of curtailed to in terms of what the advertiser, what the consumer wants versus what we give them. Do you think that they are unreasonable or they are achievable to allow us to be able to give the consumer what they are looking for in an ad-funded AI ecosystem?
I think those things are all achievable. You know, I think sometimes when consumers say opt out, we think of opt out in the ad industry as opt out of sharing some level of personal data.
Exactly.
I think sometimes
consumers
think of opt out as being opt out of ads.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously consumers can choose to opt out of ads and then opt into a paid subscription model, right? I mean, that's got to be the choice that consumers are making.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing in this data some level of understanding from consumers that, you know, these companies need some source of revenue in order to offer this product. And I also think that the cost basis of offering these LLMs will maybe force a more clear value exchange. As the VC money runs out and LLMs have a push towards profitability, I think the per user cost of offering these products is going to necessitate perhaps a more direct approach in how LLMs interact with consumers, saying, look, there's an ad-funded experience, there's a paid experience, there's not another experience, you know, there's not a no ads, no pay experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to ask about kind of the aspect of the walled garden situation here. Obviously, something that Equativ has historically been very, very passionate about is the kind of the dominance of walled gardens within the advertising ecosystem. Do we not see a risk here of the likes of OpenAI or Anthropic replacing, well, actually not replacing Google's, Google has Gemini as well, but actually just adding more walled gardens into the mix and creating even less fragmentation and making it even more difficult for publishers to be able to operate in a world successfully and actually get revenue for the ad tech industry to actually be able to successfully operate without the walled gardens taking over? Kind of what's your stance on that?
Yeah, I think it's a reasonable fear that these platforms, especially them, of course, there are lots of LLMs. We all could name two or three of them. There are lots of smaller ones, but I think it's reasonable to think that the large LLMs will look for some sort of walled garden type of model. I think what we've been seeing increasingly over the last few years is companies realize, I mean, walled gardens are really tough. And the hurdle to being a truly walled garden is high. And a lot of sort of subscale platforms, I mean, even Netflix, for example, right, has opened the gates to their garden increasingly over the years.
We see
the same thing happening with Pinterest, with many sort of, you know, not Google and Meta scale companies that just can't necessarily maintain a fully walled garden model. It's a high effort, high investment, high risk approach with maybe high reward. But I do think that the world is moving more towards gated gardens, right? Where you have, you know, you're not necessarily a complete member of the open web, but you have gates open to work with the ad tech ecosystem. And I think advertisers are demanding it as well, right? Advertisers are frustrated with some of the measurement challenges and validation challenges inside the wall. So I expect we'll continue this same push and pull. Yes, every company would love to be a walled garden, but we only have room for many of them, and advertisers don't love them, right?
No, certainly not. And you mentioned measurement there, and actually, you know, it's a question that's raised more generally about measurement and attribution challenges. How would an advertiser or indeed a publisher, if they're not getting the clicks that they used to get on an ad, how are they going to measure effectiveness of any kind of advertising campaign if those ads are appearing within an LLM, for example?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's still an unanswered question for the most part. If you look at the types of ad experiences that LLMs are experimenting with, some of them are traditional ads that are just showing up in the LLM, potentially using the rich contextual signals available inside the LLM to target that ad. But it's ultimately an ad as we see today, and it clicks through, and it's a standard, you know, banner tag and works the way we are today. And that's obviously going to be measured the same way it is today. Other experiences are more embedded within the chat experience itself. And that's what's looking more like a walled garden, right? Where you're going to expect to be able to get reporting on, like, for example, the suggested queries is one thing we see a lot in LLMs, right? Where the user's talking about a product and a brand is suggesting they ask a certain question that's related to that brand. Mm. Well, the LLM themselves would have to report back to the brand, you know, how many users opted into that sponsored query, right? So I think we'll see. I think we'll see a mix of models. And again, that's one of the hurdles of being a walled garden: is do I trust the LLMs reporting on these metrics?
Mm. And I suppose that feeds into the kind of the broader sort of big question here: is kind of what's your advice to advertisers and publishers that are kind of going into this space? I mean, first of all, are we seeing a world where an industry that's prepared for this? It doesn't feel like we're that prepared for this yet. Are we still optimizing for a world that is quickly disappearing? Do you feel like that it's accurate to say that the world we know is disappearing is going to be replaced fully by AI, or is there a world where we have to exist within both?
I don't think the world is disappearing. You know, I think people tend to overdramatize these transitions, right?
And we're very hyperbolic in this industry.
Yeah, and we've certainly been in a hype cycle moment about AI. It doesn't mean it's going to crash, but it means, you know, we're going to over time realize, you know, what is the place where AI and LLMs work for consumers and for businesses, and what are the place where other solutions work, right? It's a new tool for consumers. It's a new channel for brands. It's a new customer for publishers. And so I think they should think of it as that, right? New channels, new customers that they need to figure out how to take advantage of. And I don't think there's a need for panic. I think it's, you know, there's a threat and an opportunity. You know, focus on the opportunity in terms of how you can productively use these new channels going forward. And of course, you know, we've talked a lot about some of the threats for publishers. You know, there's some great opportunities as well for brands and advertisers to do better creative, more targeted creative, better attribution modeling. There's a lot of opportunities that you can leverage LLMs for as well.
And we've often, I say joked, it's probably a very poor joke, joked in this industry over a number of years that when we're looking at how to monetize effectively, get the most revenue, the consumer is off the last thought about aspect of the entire chain. Do you think that this represents an opportunity, and actually you running the survey represents an opportunity for you guys at Equative to actually understand, okay, this is what the consumer is actually asking for. We can make sure we build whatever platform or whatever advertising model looks like around what they're looking for and almost kind of do a bit of a reset there?
Definitely. In fact, I think that's been in the DNA of Equative and the way we approach our ad products. You know, one of our core differentiators as a company is what we call enhanced ads, which are some of the unique things we do with ad creatives. And we ground those not in getting clicks and in getting vanity metrics, but really in understanding fundamental consumer behavior and increasing things like comprehension and brand retention, which are far more durable long-term advertising outcomes versus clicks and views. And so I think that's something that we can continue to lean into. And as we move perhaps away or we diversify the model of how the ad ecosystem works, it does give us an opportunity to maybe start transacting more in some of those more meaningful long-term outcomes. Obviously, we've been talking for a decade about moving away from clicks, but it's hardly happened. You know, this may be an opportunity to force that transition in a positive way.
And what, from your perspective, you're a product man. You must be very excited by what's happening at the moment. Kind of what for you is the most exciting thing that's happening within the AI world that's kind of, I guess, you know, if you're very experienced in the industry, you will have seen a lot of changes over your time with the industry. Where are you seeing this go that kind of makes you think this is going to be very exciting and interesting, a little bit scary time for us in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, there's so many opportunities. I mean, the exciting things that we haven't touched on, of course, is just how we can use it in our work life. You know, my team and our teams are using LLMs every day to make our easier, faster, better, be able to do better work, more accurate work, be able to do things we might not have had time for before. So it's exciting from like a daily work life perspective in terms of how we do our own jobs. And it's certainly exciting in terms of the products we're offering our customers. You know, a lot of it's very experimental right now, right? It's trying things. It's seeing how they work. It's moving very quickly. You know, it feels overwhelming, I think, for all of us. No matter how deep in AI you are, the pace of change is really fast. And it's very easy to feel behind and feel like you're not keeping up, which is exciting, too. And it's far more fun than the opposite, right, of having a stagnation of things. And that's, I think, definitely, as a product person, something I enjoy doing, right, is experimenting with new things, trying new ideas. And this is a way to do that faster and easier than we've ever been able to do before.
Yeah, absolutely. And then to all the kind of the brands and publishers and obviously agencies out there as well that maybe aren't sure kind of what the next steps are in terms of understanding how they can maximize yield and understanding how they can kind of navigate this. Do you recommend them coming to their partners like you to kind of work out exactly how they can approach this and broach this in a kind of measured way without getting panicked or like burying their heads in the sand?
For sure. That's definitely a frequent request we're getting from our customers on all sides is, what are you guys doing for AI? What are you suggesting that we do? How are you measuring effectiveness? You know, nobody's got all the answers. We don't have all the answers. No one does. But I think we're very willing to engage in the discussion, engage in experiments and testing, show folks what we're doing, give them an opportunity to be a part of it. You know, it's certainly early days in terms of where this is going to go, but we're all kind of trying to navigate this together. And there's a lot to be excited about and a lot of cool outcomes that are already coming out of it.
Brilliant. That feels like a great place to end this discussion. Thank you so much, Kurt, for your time. It's been really interesting and I hope people have found this useful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lindsay.
And we'll share the link to download the infographic so you can see the stats for yourselves. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to this MadTech podcast special. We'll be back to discuss another hot industry topic soon.